Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Today we're talking books. Joining me in the studio with her picks of the week is Charmaine Lovegrove, literary editor of Elle magazine and founder of Dialogue Scouts Book to Screen Consultancy. Welcome, Charmaine. It's good
Hello.
To have you with us,
Thanks.
As always. A couple of this week's fiction releases to talk about shortly, Charmaine, but let's discuss a new travel book by Joshua Jelly Shapiro called Island People, the Caribbean and the World. This outlines the history of people from the Caribbean and what they've contributed to the wider world, sometimes often overlooked, perhaps. Charmaine, tell us, how well does Joshua Jelly Shapiro give an understanding of this region that maybe people aren't familiar with?
Well, I think, you know, he's kind of lucky in the essence that most people know not very much about the Caribbean. And so therefore, he could kind of start as a kind of ground zero. And so this is an amazing introduction. If you're familiar with the islands of the Caribbean, of which there are thousands, then this is just an absolutely marvellous overview. So, you know, I have a really, coming from Caribbean heritage, Jamaican, then you know, I'm really aware of how much of our history is not told and not taught at school, and also how much, you know, the British Empire has to do as and other former European colonies, like how much they have to do with the culture of the Caribbean. But this really allows the Caribbean to stand on its own and shine. So the book is divided into two. So there's the Greater Antilles, the islands of the Greater Antilles, which are kind of Jamaica, Cuba and Puerto Rico. And then you've got the Lesser Antilles. So and that's like Barbados, Grenada and St. Lucia. And so in this sort of cacophony of islands, then there's this book is really a celebration of like culture and music and literature. But then it's also a really, you know, it's a very daunting to kind of go into the history of what it meant to have millions of slaves brought over 300 years, and what it really means to be living on these islands in the aftermath of that, and especially as many of the countries that were responsible for such atrocities have largely forgotten the Caribbean islands.
Mm. Or sort of willfully obscured the history. I just wonder, in terms of that, the technique of the book, is it, it's sort of described as being, you know, part history, part travelogue, that sort of thing. What is the balance that Jelly Shapiro strikes, and how does that contribute to the book's success overall?
Well, I think, you know, on one hand, it's like incredibly encyclopedic in its knowledge, you know, and there was just so many things that I learned. Like, I didn't know where steel drums came from, for example, and I didn't know that they were just sort of left over in Barbados from like the US Navy. I mean, that's just like a really random fact. But then if you understand like the history of drumming from African slaves who, for, you know, say 700 years previous, had been not allowed to use any of their drumming skills, and then this group of people find these drums and they're like, they find these old drums and they're like, I know what I'm going to do with them. I'm going to create steel pans. I mean, it just shows you literally like the magic of people of the Caribbean. And so on one hand, it's like incredibly encyclopedic, but because he loves the island so much, loves the Caribbean so much, then it's really, really passionate. So that's an example of how you get kind of history, but then like a love and sort of joyfulness that comes through it. And so you see that with writers like C.L.R. James, who talks about Bob Marley, but then he goes to dance halls. And so it's always a kind of explanation of, from a historical sort of academic perspective, but infused with just like passion and love and vibrance.
And what about the turbulence? You talked about, obviously, the, you know, the slave trade and the sort of colonial past and the sort of, you know, the quite profound scarring and the interesting way that those scars have healed. What about the effect on people? Because you've had, obviously, extraordinary movements, people. You've also had extraordinary movements, people, after all that, moving away to find whether it's opportunity or different lives. Is that sort of idea about that sort of transience presumably reflected in the book?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's an island. The Caribbean is a kind of made of islands that are polyglot by nature. And so I think what you really understand is that, you know, at one point it was the centre of the world, and that there are, like, you know, tens of languages that are spoken, including Mandarin. So, you know, you're really kind of brought into how international it is. And I think that's the thing that people don't really understand about the Caribbean, of the fact that it's made up of so many people and so many different people, because at one point it was the greatest trade route in the world. It really was the center. And so it's less about kind of people migrating, but it does talk about the effects of migration, but it's more about, you know, those that have stayed and made the Caribbean really their home, and then what they've brought to the island, and then in terms of the sort of what the island has exported in terms of literature and music, and how great, and you know, how great those influences are. I mean, like reggae to Usain Bolt, you know, it's just like, I mean, I always talk about, we have a thing, you know, it's like being from London when you're like north, south, east, west, and wherever, whenever you're anywhere, then you're like, I'm from, you know, obviously South London gets the biggest big ups in like every party. And it's the same with Jamaica. Like whenever we talk about the Caribbean, then Jamaica is obviously the best of the islands, like clearly. So excuse me, but
that's all right, that's fine. We like to see a bit of local pride.
Yes.
That's fine. It sounds like an incredible piece of work. Island People, the Caribbean and the World. It's by Joshua Jelly Shapiro. It's out today, published by Canongate. Let's move on to the fiction picks now, Charmaine. First Love is the upcoming book by the writer Gwendolyn Riley. But despite the rather romantic sounding title, All Maybe Not Rosie, what's the plot of First Love, Charmaine?
So we meet Neve, who's in her 30s, and she's married to Edwin, who seems to have this illness that we don't know exactly what it is. And you kind of think that it's going to be about a sort of rehabilitation, or, you know, how this couple are in love, and because of the title. And then you're just drawn into this sort of battlefield of their relationship. And it makes you kind of question, like, what love is, why do we stay in a relationship, how do relationships occur, because in the end, like, Neve is asking those questions of herself, and it really makes you question your own position with you know, the legitimacy of sort of finding a mate and being able to stay with somebody despite the fact that it could be just quite a harrowing experience.
Well, I mean, that does sound, yeah, harrowing. I don't know, maybe a bit depressing. Do you think that the book, I don't know, does it rely on the characters and the zest of their personalities and to elevate the story, or is it quite challenging? You know, does it prompt you to do more than just muse on marriage and relationships? It seems like it doesn't shy from some quite direct and maybe challenging questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I think that's a really good thing, and I think that literature should do that. It asks questions, and it's not easy. You know, it's easy to read because it's actually quite a sort of precise and very sort of taut, eloquent book. It's also not very big. It's very, very sort of descriptive of like a woman's journey into relationships, and sort of, you know, she's quite a vulnerable woman, Neve, and she's really trying to understand herself through these experiences of love, whether or not it's through her father, who's quite aggressive, or her mother, who's a bit of a narcissist. And so she's trying to work herself out. But then it's like weaving through different time zones and also through different cities. So we are at one point in Manchester, and then we're in London, and then we're in Glasgow. So we're also kind of always taken on a journey. So it's almost like there's so many, which is also, it's a character in itself. And that's what kind of moves the story along.
Tell us a bit more about Gwendolyn Riley, because this is her sixth book, is that right? She's racked up a few, but she's not, you know, she's only in her early 30s, and her first book, which was released to quite some acclaim when she was very young, I think sort of in her early 20s. I mean, that's not bad going, is it?
No, absolutely. And I think she's kind of been kind of not like a quiet literary voice, but definitely, you know, I think that people are going to come across her more. I think this is kind of going to be quite a big breakout book for her. I think we haven't really, you know, Cold Water was like brilliant, and I think she's, you know, she's someone that's really sort of adored by writers and poets and songwriters as well. And I think that, you know, she's somebody that should be on every literary fan's bookshelf. And luckily she has a range of titles that people can dip into. But I think, you know, it's so important because we very rarely see this kind of writer that has had the chance to kind of experiment with their narrative and sort of find their voice in the world. So I'm really super excited for her. And I do think that this is sort of the best of her six so far.
high praise for First Love by Gwendolyn Riley. It's out on the 2nd of February. It's published by Granta, another one to keep a close eye on. Finally, I shall mean, let's discuss Miss Treadway and the Field of Stars by Miranda Emerson. This takes us to 1960s London, where we meet Anna Treadway, a young dresser for a Soho theatre who's determined to find out the truth about a missing American actress. During her investigation, she explores an England she didn't really know existed. Charmaine, tell us, what sort of places does Anna Treadway end up in on this, I guess, voyage of discovery?
I just love this book. I mean, I really, since I read it, I actually read it a year ago, and I've been like really obsessed with it ever since. And the thing that I really love about it is that you have Anna Treadway, who is kind of quite a pedestrian, kind of slightly vanilla young woman in London in the 60s. And then you just find out that she's just fearless. And she does a thing that most people would expect when you move to London, that you would be kind of open to the world. But I know, and we all know as Londoners, that's not necessarily true. But Anna Treadway goes into bars which are like reggae bars of black men in the 60s, or she goes into she lives with a Turkish family, and then she suddenly finds herself in like the South Coast on her mission to find Alanah Green, the actress. And when Anna is in all of these situations, she's trying to work out what happened to this starlet, Alanah, but she's also kind of working out herself, the society that we live in and the culture. And so she gets into a relationship with a guy called Aloysius, who is from the Caribbean and studied literature, and he works as an accountant at this club. And they go on this journey together to sort of find Alanah, but they encounter so many setbacks because of like sitting on the bus together as a mixed race couple in the 60s is something that you weren't allowed to do. And, you know, there's a kind of brutality from the police and there's a brutality from society. And so she brings us into this world, Anna, which is just so rich and so magnificent and totally real and so full of experiences that we haven't really seen on the page. And Miranda is just such an exceptional writer. And I just haven't really, you know, I read 5 books a week. And this is a real kind of crossover commercial title. And it's not something that I normally talk about on Monocle. But I do feel as though this is like for every train ride, for every commuter, to really just be lost in this like really wonderful world of like London swinging 60s, and then thinking about like the social and political values that are still at large today.
And I wonder, I mean, you mentioned there's probably things which we're glad we complacently think we've seen the back of, you know, people's old fashioned outmoded views about race, for example. But does this largely paint a picture of a world that it's a shame that it's lost? I mean, you go to Soho now, it's almost unrecognisable even from 20 years earlier, let alone what are we 50 odd years later. Is it a depiction of lost worlds now?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and on one hand that's like the vibrance of like the swing 60s and just the colourfulness of like so many different people that would congregate in Soho. And so when I'm walking down Carnaby Street or Old Compton Street, then this book has over the year kind of popped up in my head and kind of, you know, it's really stayed with me. But also there's another side to it that's slightly darker, which is about women, and it's about abortion, and it's about, you know, women not having a choice in how we live. And considering what's just happened in the last 24 hours in America, then I just feel like this book is even more pertinent. You know, they have to go to Streatham in the 60s, in the freezing cold, to go and find a doctor to talk to her about backstreet abortions. You know, that seemed unthinkable when I was reading it, but actually that's maybe something that people are going to have to do in America over the next couple of years since yesterday. So it's like there's lots and lots of really relevant, pertinent issues that have been percolating with me over the year that I read this book, and to see them really coming to life now, it just sort of really lifts it off the page. But as you know, on a very colourful cultural level, then yeah, I mean, I really wish that I was like in the swinging 60s, and I really wish that the music of this book and the culture of this book and the vibrancy of this book is the thing that kind of swings you free.
immerse yourselves in it. What a nice portrait Tremaine painted there. Miss Treadway in the Field of Stars. It's out now. You can get hold of it. It's published by Fourth Estate. That brings us to the end of today's programme. Thanks, Tremaine Lovegrove, for being with us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. The show was produced, as ever, by Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. We'll be talking films, but for now, goodbye, and thanks for listening.